always glad to have guests, and we want more. Okay? I'm very hungry for more. Today I'm going to talk about Daniel's deliverance. Next week, you know, it's easy when you preach about these guys who stand strong and never budge. It's kind of fun to watch. But next week I'm going to talk about a guy who was standing strong, but then he got scared and he ran. And the title of next week is He Ran. It came that way because when I was a youth director at a church just outside of Burleson, I was preaching one Sunday for the professor that was gone, and I had my sermon on a desk, and when I came back to pick it up, it was gone. Some young person stole it. And he thought he had me over a barrel. So I didn't come up with it. God gave it to me. He ran. So we're going to run next week. And I want you to think about that. Daniel is an interesting character whenever you deal with this. And I would, let's see, how do we know him? Daniel and what? Oh, I thought it was the fire, wasn't it? Oh, well, it's all of them. They're all together. You take a look at it and you recognize Daniel. Quite an interesting man. How many of you are on the Daniel diet? How many are losing weight on it? I threatened my wife if she gets on it, she's in trouble. She got nothing to lose. Well, Daniel is interesting for a lot of reasons. Nebuchadnezzar didn't appreciate the Jews, the Israelites. He plundered the temple, and he selected a number of people, of young men, and I don't know how old they were when they were selected, but they're pretty young, because he wanted them, he took them back to Babylon, and got them immersed into all that there was to know about Babylon. And they grew up with that, and the reason given was this. He wanted to train them for his service because they were unparalleled or unexcelled in physical appearance and superior intelligence. Boy, that'd make you feel good, wouldn't it, if you got in that group? Well, that's what he was looking for, and he literally got them there so that they get it. And I think some of you are studying the fact that he offered them the best of foods that was possible, and Daniel refused because it wasn't really on his diet. It was not what it should be. And so Daniel was very different. He was a very good man who had a lot of friends, and he made a lot of good moves that you would expect from somebody that had all those characteristics. He was able to move up, and they were given heavy responsibilities, and he became one of the top three in the whole country. He's a boss man. And he was one that was very committed to God, to Jehovah. And he was very faithful to his God also. And so what we do is we begin to look at this. Daniel is pictured as a great and flawless man. He's by the time we're looking at him, he's grown. And he was there for several years. His first years were in Babylon with Nebuchadnezzar. And he attained a great position, prominence. And then Babylon was kind of taken over, destroyed. hurt, damaged, and Persia came on staff. They came in. They took over. And Daniel also, because he was a respected leader, was kept in his place. It's amazing whenever you think about all the people that he worked through that were his boss, and how many people worked under him who were not his boss. And you look at his life, and he literally came through as one of the top three men in the empire. He excelled in his spirit and his abilities, and he was recognized and he was rewarded for that. In other words, he was a successful individual. Wouldn't you like to have the world look at you and say, boy, you are successful? Trouble is, out of all the people that were there, there weren't that many that could be said was that. And so the first thing that comes to my mind as I think about this is that you and I, as God's people, we need to flourish where we are. Our testimony is critical. You realize that God isn't going to just wash down and say, okay, these guys are all going to be saved? No. It's people to people, person to person. And you notice in the things that we've looked at, that we looked at for our next pastor, it has to do with the fact that we really want to reach lost people. And it is our task and our job and our responsibility to reach lost people. And so we need to flourish where we are. The biggest problem that we have sometimes is that we get jealous. That's point number one. There's jealousy that's always at play. And when you think about jealousy, oh my. I remember back in high school, you understand, I'll explain in just a minute. In high school, I was excellent when it came to math and geology, geometry. Oh, I got it. I got it. I got geometry. I got it. And I scored well with it, and I represented our school in county and then a little bit farther in geometry. And I went to college thinking I was such a good success. Now, you understand, I was in a little bitty school. My class had 17 in it. And it's not really hard to, if you're good at something, that you could really be at the top. Well, I got into a class of calculus in college. And with all my math background and everything else, that stuff just ate me alive. When I had a young man in that class who was taller than I was, looked a lot better than I did, and dressed better, his name was Johnny Howard. I'll never forget that guy. Johnny Howard. He had beautiful shoes. And on the heels, he had a horseshoe thing that they put, a plate they put on there. It's kind of like a tap, only it was a horseshoe. And you know what he got to do with it? Well, he was really good at calculus. We would be given a test with six or eight, probably less, sometimes fewer problems than that, that we had to solve. And we had 2 hours to solve them. And most of us were sweating blood and didn't get them all solved in 2 hours. But Johnny always did. As a matter of fact, he had them all solved in 15 minutes. And then he would take his little shoes and he'd come with that big smile that glistened. Oh! You know, I would have been better off if I had not been so jealous. I said, Johnny, could you help me with my calculus? I might have had a little help that way, but jealousy sometimes just comes in and it's envy. It just tears at you. And I looked at him, and I never looked at him in a good way as long as I knew him. And I knew better, and I should have been better, but I wasn't better. And God had to work on me for that. Because here's a young man who was really good in calculus. He excelled in calculus, and I'm sure that in his life he was a great success because of his ability. Well, okay. Envy does terrible things to us. And Daniel was lording it. Well, he wasn't lording it over. He was the boss of a lot of people. And some of these guys thought, well, you know, I ought to have that job or even better. I really need that. Well, Darius was put in here. He was a Persian ruler that the big boss decided that we'd put him there. And Darius came in, and he was really trying to get his feet on the ground. And here are all the helpers. And they came, they devised a plan. They devised a real interesting plan. They're going to see if they couldn't appeal to the pride of this guy. He's a Persian ruler. I'll bet he's easy to trick. And we'll take care of Daniel. We can take care of Daniel. We will make sure that he gets taken care of. And so they came to Darius, and boy, I mean, he was probably glad to get it. But he got a scheme that said, you know, we want you to write a rule, and we'll back you up on it, that for a month, nobody bows down to anybody but you, period. You know, for Darius, I think he may have been just a little bit, I don't know what he was, flattered. I think he got tricked. He got snookered. But you know what? He had the revenge finally. But he did get snookered. And anybody who does not bow down to you, but bows down to anything else, put them in the lion's den. Now, you know what a lion's den looks like? Bet you've never been in one. You don't want to. But it is not a cave like sometimes is depicted. It's dug out so that all the walls shape out like that, and it's smooth at the bottom, but it's so far down you can't jump up and you can't climb out. And they put those nice little kitty cats in there. Those lovely little cats, and they don't feed them, except whenever they have somebody to throw in. Anyhow, there it is. Any person who is caught otherwise, they go into the lion's den, period. He didn't even see that coming. He literally was entrapped in his own pride because he made a rule. But I noticed that in the statement that I've made here, Darius signed a decree, the decree, and it could not be altered. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Well, we live in a strange world where you can live in a world where you can alter other people's stuff. And if you want to call it off, you can call it off. And you and I are watching that go by all the time. But this one could not be altered. I tell you, the love of self gives yourself an exalted opinion of your own importance. And that can lead to terrible, terrible things in our lives. We don't need to go there, period. But those strange things happen. And that's what happened to Darius. But those who literally practice that, notice the jeopardy. Those who practice the presence of Christ are not intimidated by ridicule or threat. We have a long list of martyrs. You can go to, isn't it Hebrews 11? A roll call. A lot of people who have been tortured. A lot of people who have been put every kind of pressure on, but they did not give. And in this case, Daniel heard the edict. He knew exactly what it was, what it was said. But he had a practice. Every day, three times a day, he would pray. And he did not allow even the ruler that is over him to intimidate him to the point that he could not do what needed to be done. He wasn't going to be ridiculed by the threat. So he heard the edict and he went to his house. And you know what he went to his house to do? To pray. You know, whenever you get in trouble, that's a good place to be. Go pray. And he knew that there was something coming. But three times a day he prayed. And the strange thing is, when he prayed, he always faced where Jerusalem was, or maybe still was, kind of, sort of. But it had been walked all over, and literally anything that was worth anything was carried off, including, remember, Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't he the one that hauled off all the vessels that were in the temple? Because they were keepsakes. And I guess he liked treasures. And so he did all of that. And here he is, the king, literally, whenever he looked at this and realized that he had been tricked. Don't you know that he probably was embarrassed? He probably thought about it a little while. And then I think that he got angry. But he was scared to death because Daniel was such a good worker and represented everything that they needed to have represented. He was one that really, Darius wanted him. But he could not change the rule. Daniel was a good worker and he wouldn't bend. He served God. He was effective. He wouldn't bend. Remember when Chick-fil-A got in trouble? I was so thrilled that they did not bend. And you know, Chick-fil-A's business went up. You put in a Chick-fil-A almost anywhere and you can make money. It's amazing. Well, Daniel had no intention of giving in. And Darius got caught in a trap. Oh, wait a minute. That's a song by Elvis, isn't it? Caught in a trap. Got caught in a trap. How about that? We've got a song that recommends going back and thinking about that. Well, maybe not. But the king set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. That's what it says. He labored and labored and did everything that he could until the sun went down. If you'll remember, the bell shape, they put a stone in the top. And he uses insignia to put on the thing so that he could seal it. But then all the other big guys that had the signets, they all put the seal on it so that the stone could not be moved. And if it was, we would know it. Boy, that was a restless night. That poor king, he didn't know what to do. His servant, you remember in verse 20 it says, Daniel, the servant of the living God, God who is able to deliver you. You know, by now you'd think, let's see, three guys in the fire, but there were four. And they came out and they didn't even have a scorch on them and no smell. And he's kind of thinking about that, although he wasn't there at the time, probably. He was thinking, you know, that God is pretty powerful. Maybe, just maybe, God can reach down and save him. Because that's the only choice that he has. What a deal. Well, couldn't wait to get there for the morning. The king just really had a sleepless night. And he just couldn't wait to get there. And when he got there, they got that stone out of the way. And guess what they found? Uh-oh. The little pussycats didn't bite anything. I guess they had lockjaw. I don't know what they had. They had an angel there. There was somebody there that kept that from happening. And Daniel spent the night there. I don't know how his night went for him, but I expect it was pretty peaceful. But they lifted him out, and there wasn't anything wrong. Daniel was delivered and brought up, and it was because of his faithfulness that he was saved from death. His faithfulness. You know, this was a terrible and an important influence on Darius. He got a word that here's a man that is still alive and he is just doing fine and didn't have a scratch on him. And boy, you know, that's a miracle. But I've read commentaries that said, well, they fed the little lions so well, they didn't want another bite. I don't have a lion, but I have a cat, and I don't know that I've ever seen her just turn her nose up to food. No, these were vicious animals. And they were caught in a trap, all right. They were there, and they couldn't do anything. But then the rule from the boss was, you know, this is the living God and steadfast, and he is forever. So we will always recognize that. But how would you like to have been one of the ones that were against him and tried to say, throw him in? Because Darius said, okay, let's just do that. I throw all of you guys in and all of your family, kids and all. Boy, that sounds vicious, doesn't it? We like to protect our children. But it had enough influence that was bad. God said, let them go. And Darius threw them all in there, and guess what? The lions hadn't eaten in a while. As a matter of fact, that's pretty gruesome when you hear that. Listen to it. It is just terribly gruesome, as a matter of fact. But here it is. The living God and the steadfast God is always there. And he always meets the needs of those that are his. And Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. In other words, he was there. He was where he was. He didn't want to be, but that's where he was, and he made himself at home. He became a boss, and he was rewarded. And God took care of him. The thing that is important for you and me to take from this is this. None of us know how great our influence is on somebody else's life. I had a hard time ever getting to church as a child, but I had a neighbor that offered to take me to Sunday school every week. And you know what? I got into Sunday school. And it wasn't because my parents took me, it's because a neighbor did. And that neighbor has no idea how much influence he had in my life. And think about your life and how you influence people around you and how we can change this neighborhood and how we can reach people for Christ. I like the outreach that we have going. I like the stuff that we're planning. There's going to be more planning coming. There's going to be more things that are going on. And I just encourage you to know that your influence is extremely important. And so I'll conclude with this thought. We are to live the Scripture. We are to know what Scripture says, and we're to live the Scripture. We are to influence people by what we do, by what we are, and by whose we are. We need to be an influence in this community and everywhere that God puts us. So I encourage you today to make a commitment to be that kind of influence. Because as we look for a new pastor in the near future, he's going to need a lot of help. And when he comes in the front door, there might be somebody that kind of lays a trap. We don't want that. We want a pastor to come who is well supported, well cared for, and well followed. Because it's our job to be the ones who don't have to have the glory, but we need to do the job of being an influence in our community. Don't you think? That's who we are, and that's what we are supposed to do. So today I make an invitation for you. If you want to come and kneel and pray, that'd be good. If you want to come and rededicate your life, you can. If you want to join this church and be a part of a very active church, I invite you to come, because COVID can't keep us down, period.